I am Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode number 37. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders and potential Christian leaders understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the Great Commission. Our Strategic Christian Leadership Bible passage for this episode is Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 44, which says, "Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Our strategic Christian leadership quote for this episode is from John Izzo and Marshall Goldsmith. He said, or they said, "Leadership is a posture and a choice, not a role that must be bestowed on you. Step up and be a leader when no one is watching or expecting you to do so." Beloved, in this podcast today, we are going through the fine books, Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Malfers, Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. If you enjoy this podcast, if you benefit from this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of these books from our website, podcastpulpit.com. Our topic today is part 3 of chapter 3, Preparing the Boat, Developing the Strategy from Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Malfers. He continues as follows. Developing a strategic plan. Now that we know why development is important, what it is, and who is responsible to make it happen, we turn to the practice of strategic development. It will tell us how to design the strategy plan, big S. This involves pursuing a four-step strategic development process. Anytime you attempt to execute a process, there will be certain barriers that get in the way and attempt to block it. I define them as embedded practices, policies, or persons, anything or anyone that block the effective activation of your strategic plan. You will run headlong into them both in the development process and especially in its implementation when you launch your developed strategic plan. Thus, I have included some information on how to identify and deal with these barriers in chapter 13 under some important implementation practices. Should you encounter barriers as you take the following steps, use the information there to deal with them. Step 1. Formulate development objectives with goals. The very first part of the process is to formulate the objectives and their specific goals needed to effectively develop the many strategies, that is MINI strategies, that make up the overall ministry strategy. we at the Malfers Group have come up with 11 objectives. They are prayer, congregational communication, community outreach, disciple making, congregational mobilization, staffing, board, development, setting, location and facilities, finances or stewardship, creativity and innovation, and leader development. Each of these objectives could have 5 to 20 or more goals. To see the goals for each of these objectives, turn to the strategic development worksheet in Appendix D. You may need to adjust each objective and its goals to your particular context. In your context, you may want to come up with other objectives. Before formulating specific goals, it is wise to understand the characteristics of good goals. There are at least 5. They are clear. People understand what they are. They are urgent, important to the ministry, and need to have been accomplished yesterday. They are visible. People can see something taking place right before their eyes. They are meaningful and important to people. They are timely and can be accomplished quickly. Thus, they lead to short-term as well as long-term wins. 5 characteristics of good goals. Number 1, clear. Number 2, urgent. Number 3, visible. Number 4, meaningful. Number 5, timely. So, step 2, recruit development team leaders and teams. Ministry is only as good as the people who lead and carry it out, and this needs to be kept in mind in this step, recruiting the teams and their leaders. Most people have a profound inner desire to accomplish something of significance with their lives. Our job as leaders is to assist our people in accomplishing this for Christ, and it can be done when people are put in positions for which they are wired. Then their gifts, passions, and temperament will help them accomplish the goals. A person with the gift of evangelism might connect with the community outreach development team, DT. Another indication is one's profession. For example, a realtor might join the community outreach DT, or a contractor, architect, or carpenter might be on the ministry setting DT, facilities, and location. First, you will need to determine which DTs are needed, and then, recruit the team members. We at the Malfers Group recommend teams for each of the objectives listed above, along with a lead development team. Thus, in addition to the lead team, we recommend the following: prayer team, congregational communication team, community outreach team, disciple-making team, congregational mobilization team, staff team, ministry setting, location and facilities team, finance or stewardship team, and creative and innovative team, which can help the church adapt quickly to change in the culture and in the community. An optional team is one that develops a governing board. This objective is optional because some churches do not have a board. Another optional team is a church leadership development team. The pastor and others, such as the leader of the lead development team, who may be the pastor, will select and recruit from the SLT the leader or champion for each development team listed above. Do not make the mistake of asking for volunteers. It's okay to ask for volunteers to be on a team, but not for leading a team. When you ask for volunteers to lead, you may get people who are not able or competent to lead. I suspect this may be the reason Jesus selected and pursued the disciples he knew would be good leaders. Next, the DT leaders will in turn select their teams, at least two, but no more than nine people, from those on the SLT who are not leading or on another team, and from people in the congregation. Once you have in place the DT members, the team members will divvy up the goals among them. How might they know which goals each should pursue? One, as mentioned above, is the person's divine design, gifts, passion, and temperament. A second indication might be a personal interest. Someone may not have gifting or experience in a particular area, but simply be interested in the area of ministry. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for what our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. And Lord, help us to take advantage of what we're learning, to use it for your glory, praise, and honor, so that more work can get done in the way of ministry and evangelism and outreach. And we can do it with this knowledge better and more effectively. Lord, give us your wisdom and knowledge and understanding to take what we have learned and to apply it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, here's how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, right now. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.